Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in the sun relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. Again, I just want to thank you for sharing this with your friends and family. We're expanding not only nationally, but internationally, well over a million listeners and viewers. So we really, really very much appreciate that. But today, we're talking about getting more money for college. We're talking about the test preparation. You want to avoid the scams. You want to know what to do, how to do it, because it's all new for parents. And sometimes it's new every single year because you have to fill out that FAFSA. But for that, we've got Dr. Sean Patel. He's the founder and CEO of Prep Expert. On ABC Shark Tank, he closed a deal with Mark Cuban for an investment in a Prep Expert. He created Prep Expert to help high school students achieve their own dreams. Prep Expert to help more than 100,000 students improve their SAT, ACT scores, get into top colleges, and win over $100 million in scholarships. That's big. They offer online SAT and ACT courses, academic tutoring, college admissions consulting. Sean is very, very well experienced in what's doing here. What's really interesting about Sean is he's actually got 500,000 scholarships for himself getting into college. And you really want somebody to talk to you about stuff like that. So we've got two focuses today. One, how do you get the money? How do you get prepared for college? And two, hey, let's get prepared to take that test so we can do it right. So with that, I want to just thank you for joining us there, Dr. Patel.
Hi, thanks for having me, Steve. And thank you for that kind introduction. I'm excited to talk to parents, family, students, and all your listeners about financial aid, test prep, and really plug in and hopefully clarify, simplify the process and give some real actionable tips here today.
That's perfect. So let's just start. We've had so many emails saying, okay, I fill out this electronic FAFSA form, okay, but what should I be looking at? What should I be thinking about? What should I be preparing so I can fill it out the right way to get as much benefit for my son or daughter?
Yeah, so when you're filling out the FAFSA, so FAFSA really stands for Free Application for Federal Student Aid. And when you fill that out, it's basically opening up the door for your child to get financial aid from the federal government in the form of student loans, Pell Grants, and those are often dispersed by the financial aid office at the college or university that your student is attending. Now, it's really important for parents, grandparents, and older listeners to know that the FAFSA is not something that your child can just fill out on their own. They really do need a lot of parental or parent guardian help. And the reason for that is because they're going to be requesting a lot of financial information, including tax returns, W-2s, 1099s, bank account statements, brokerage statements. It now actually directly plugs into the IRS to get your prior year's tax returns. So it's really a joint effort between the student and the parent. And having all those documents in order is going to be crucial to filling this out correctly.
So basically what you're saying is a parent should be pulling out their everything from the mortgage statement, the financial investment statements, the 401k, the bank accounts, the tax returns in order to properly fill out the form.
Yeah. And that's what often, you know, is a hiccup for people in terms of getting this filled out in the best possible way, is getting all of that documentation together. Because I'm sure, you know, with all the episodes you've done, not everyone is the best about keeping all those forms in one place. And so we've got to do that as step one. And then on top of that, your student really has to make sure that they are exploring financial aid opportunities outside of FAFSA as well, because, you know, FAFSA is for federal student aid, federal student loans, federal grants, but there are plenty of other financial aid options from state organizations, county organizations, the state government, local scholarships, private corporations that can also provide financial aid, and those are often overlooked.
So let's talk about some of those, because you know what? For example, I'm just going to talk about my niece. My older brother married a wonderful woman, and she happens to be Hispanic. So, you know, even though he's done very, very well, she was able to get the scholarship because she was the only Hispanic person who applied.
Yeah.
And it actually paid all of her college other than room and board. So that's not a bad situation. So are those the type of things you're talking about?
100%. So you nailed it, which is she was the only one who applied. So that's the key to winning scholarships. So what I love about scholarships, especially the types of scholarships that I recommend parents and students at my company Prep Expert apply for, is I usually recommend applying for local scholarships. What I mean by that is scholarships that are only open to your county, your city, your state. They're geographically local to you. And why is that? Well, when you apply to a national scholarship that's open to all 50 states in the United States, you're competing against the entire nation. A lot of those scholarships have 100,000, 50,000, 20,000 applications. So it's like trying to win the lottery. You're not going to have very good luck most of the time. But instead, if you apply for a local scholarship that's only open to students in your city, there might only be 100 applications or 50 applications, or like your niece, only one application, right? And so your chances of winning those scholarships go up exponentially. And so I love them because that's actually the strategy I used when I was in high school to secure $500,000 in aid. Is I was applying to so many local scholarships. I actually applied for 100 scholarships my senior year of high school. Ended up winning 20 of them. 19 of them were local to my city or my state. I only won one national scholarship. So if I could go back in time and do it all over again, I would have never applied to all these national scholarships. I would have just really zeroed in, focused on local scholarships. And that's what I recommend your audience do.
So let's give some examples, because we had one person, she wrote and she says, yes, my son got a $500 scholarship because he played T-ball in the city. Only one.
Yeah.
I had another person write in saying, you know what, because of these local grants that he received, he actually left college with over $25,000 and bought a new car after he left college. Because
amazing.
The grants, basically, they're not alone. So they're yours. They're there to use it for your education. But once the education's over, it's money.
Yeah, it, exactly. So that's what I love about this, is that scholarships and grants do not need to be paid back, unlike student loans, right? So student loans, they often have low interest rates, but you got to pay them back at some point. And, you know, this country is really facing a crisis right now with student loans hitting nearly $2 trillion. And it's, you know, causing people to get married later and buy houses later, and et cetera. So we try to reduce your student loans by going through the scholarships and grants route to reduce your cost of college as much as possible. So one example is we had a student who applied for even more scholarships than I did when they were in high school. His name was Neil. And Neil ended up getting $1.4 million in college scholarship offers.
Wow.
I mean, talk about return on investment, right? In terms of making sure that he had high grades, good test scores, good extracurriculars during high school, it really paid off in the form of real dollars. And like me, he was actually getting paid to go to college rather than paying for college, which is an ideal situation.
Oh, we'd love that. I was going to say, one of the things that was really interesting, when my kids finished their degree, we said, hey, your master's is on you. So when my son, he finished his degree, we basically took him off the tax return. And when we did that, he was now applying for financial aid as a student who looked very, very poor. And the next thing we know, he's getting his master's paid for. They even sent him, I think it was $3,000 for him to buy his own laptop. So it was just nuts. And then on my daughter's side, she was going to an out-of-state school. Then it became an in-state school. And then all of a sudden, her whole master's program was paid for. So it was like, wow. So give us an example of where people should be looking for the local companies or organizations that you would want to look at for a scholarship.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way to go about this is, to ask your college counselor, you know, are there any local businesses in the area, local foundations in the area, getting local scholarships? Search on Google for scholarships in your city, your county, your state. But just to give one really good example for everyone that I think everyone could apply for is the Coca-Cola scholarship is open to the entire nation. So I said, don't apply for those. However, they have one important caveat. They reserve two or three scholarships for every single state, which means that you're only competing against the students in your state. which means that the other 49 states cannot compete against you for that scholarship, which means your chances of winning go up, you know, 49, 50 times for the Coca-Cola scholarship. So that one is usually due in October for high school seniors. So make sure you're on the lookout if that's coming up soon for you.
That's wonderful. So organizations like the Shriners, the Veterans, the VFW.
Oh, yeah. American Legion, Sons of American Revolution. There are Rotary Clubs. There are so many local organizations, the Ronald McDonald House Charities Foundation, Burger King. There are so many local companies and organizations in every area that are giving out local scholarships just for that area. And so it just takes a little bit of research, but those are just to name a few.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. So once you've got the scholarships, the financial aid, you're going to get that notice. You typically get it pretty straightforward, pretty quickly, because yeah. Mine was really fun when I finished the button. He says, oh, you can get a $5,000 loan.
Oh, nice. That is quick. Yeah. But they'll give you the loans you qualify for immediately, but oftentimes you do need to wait for the financial aid package from the college or university you're attending to analyze the FAFSA data. And, you know, they may add some scholarships or some loans onto your financial aid package from that from that university. And, you know, my recommendation would be try to reduce your loans as much as possible and increase your scholarships and grants as much as possible. Now, another strategy, you kind of mentioned it with your daughter, to lower your cost of college is there's nothing wrong with going in-state. You know, in-state tuition is often much lower at public universities than it is to go to a private university or out-of-state for university. And so what you want to do is, just like everything else in finance, lower your costs and increase your revenue. In this case, our revenue is our scholarships and our grants. And if we do that, those together, you get quote unquote profitability, or in this case, at least a very, very low expense that's easily manageable rather than, you know, ending up hundreds of thousands of dollars in student debt.
Yeah, you know what? If we had done it earlier, it probably would have saved us $70,000 in college education costs.
It's amazing to think about, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Even the room and board is less. I mean, it's like 50, 60, sometimes less than half of what the tuition actually is if you're in state. So I would encourage looking that. Sounds might sound a little scary, but the reality is, you know what? Hey, if they're off the payroll, so to speak, on their own tax return and they look poor, they're going to give them more. So that's 100%. Really very nice. So, you know what? I'm going to take a quick break, but I also want to talk to you in the next segment about the scams that are going on and how people can avoid them, because there's a lot of money in college scholarships. There's a lot of money in college loans. There's a lot of money in helping people get placed if they can actually help them get in place. So folks, you want to stick with us right back. You're with Dr. Sean Patel.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly want to thank you for joining us and sharing this with your friends and family. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight and information on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to check out our YouTube channel. Never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks, AMFM 247. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Hey, you can also check us out on our Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. Hey, let's get right back to Dr. Sean Patel. We're talking about getting into college, scholarships, the whole shot. So, you know what? One of the biggest things, Dr. Patel, that I've got a lot of emails on is people who are getting taken advantage of. And you know what? With the trillions of dollars that's being paid out in student loans, you've got massive amount of scholarships, people trying to get into colleges. There's a number of scams, and some of our, you know, our listeners and viewers are saying, hey, this happened to me. I lost this from this. So, you know what? What are the scams that are going on? How can they be avoided? That's the big question.
Yeah, 100%. So there are tons of scams out there related to financial aid, and you have to be really careful when examining the offers and applications that you are receiving to determine whether it is a legitimate financial aid or scholarship, or it is a scam and they're trying to not actually help you pay for college, but actually take your money. So one of the big red flags to look out for are fee-based scholarship applications. So this is basically a scheme where a scholarship requires payment of an application or a processing fee. A legitimate scholarship would not ask for something like that. And so this is basically something that the FTC has said. If they say, oh, you just pay a processing fee, like $5, $35, et cetera, to apply for an award, they make off with a lot of money if they get 5,000, 10,000 applications. And then, they might actually pay out one or two scholarships, but it's nothing compared to the amount they're profiting on such. So make sure if you're applying to a scholarship or a financial aid package, that you are not paying any fees. You know, it's called FAFSA, free application for federal student aid. Free is the key word. These applications should be free and not paid for.
That's really good to know. I can see how people would really want to find somebody that could pay for their college. And if it's just $5 or $35 and they have a really, or given the perception of a high opportunity of getting something, many people would just pay and not think twice about it.
Yeah, 100%. Another one to consider is that I've seen a lot of is you've been selected. Now, you'll often get these mailers, by things called like the National Youth Leadership Council, or they'll have some really great name in the, in the mailer or the postcard that parents and students receive. And they'll say, you've been selected, you've been nominated, et cetera, to get this amazing award. And, what's weird is you often don't even ever apply to these awards. You're just automatically selected, or you're a finalist for or nominated for this exclusive opportunity. Now, these can be even bigger scams because not only are there application fees, but as you go further down in terms of speaking and applying for them, you'll sometimes be invited to go to an in-person boot camp or leadership summit, et cetera, that often can have a high price tag associated with it, $2,000, $5,000, even $10,000. And so be on the lookout for anything where your student has been selected or nominated or won an award they never apply for. It is not legitimate. Make sure that if you're winning an award or a scholarship, that your student actually applied for it.
You know what? I can understand that many, many people will do almost anything to help get their kids into school.
To protect yourself, always check the email sender. Even if it says it's from FAFSA, make sure the actual email address is from a .gov address, right? And then make sure all your spam filters are on, because if they're not and, things are flying through, you can easily get scammed. And, I would also, there are services out there that you can check to see whether your social security number has been leaked, or you could be a potential threat of identity theft, because that is a common thing that can happen with all of the sensitive information that you are using and putting out there in the FAFSA as well as other scholarship applications.
I see. So it's one of those things where just because of the nature of getting college scholarships and loans, your information is out there. So people are saying, hey, this, if we can get one or two, this would be great. And that's why they're looking to scam. And they probably get a lot more than that just because people don't pay attention. And one of the things I think that was really important that you said, and we see this with IRS scams and other things where they get I think it's called a masked email, where it might have FAFSA on it, .gov over the top. But when you press on it or try to copy and paste it, all of a sudden it goes to the UK or somewhere else. And yeah. So those are things.
They're getting really sophisticated with these scams now. I mean, they can even fake the caller ID. These scams are getting sophisticated, especially with AI. So just be vigilant and really try to protect yourself, your family, your child, et cetera.
I agree, because I probably get 8 or 10 phone calls a day from people saying they're Yelp.
Yeah.
I want to talk about my Yelp account. Okay, great. And it's funny because when you look at the actual phone number. You could tell it's a predictive dial where somebody's got 30,000 phone numbers that they just run through. Okay, cool. That's great to know. I'm just looking through my viewers' questions, and I just want to, it's just really, really, really very important. So, you know, the big tips, if you're going to apply for scholarships, FAFSA, go out to different places, what's the tip? I mean, you applied to 100. Okay, would you recommend applying to as many as you can find? 100? What's a good number for people to apply and possibly get reasonable results?
Yeah, 100 is too many. I'll admit that. But, you know, I think the right number is somewhere between 20 and 50. If you apply for less than 20, you may not win anything. And if you apply for the wrong scholarships, like if all 20 of those are just national scholarship applications where you're competing against the entire nation, you'll likely win nothing. So you really have to hone in on, I think 20 is a really good number of local scholarships to shoot for. There are definitely 20 organizations, businesses, companies, Rotary clubs, Boys and Girls clubs in your area that are offering scholarships to high school seniors and their parents. So that one should be a good number to shoot for. Now, if you got great grades, great test scores, great extracurriculars, you should be maximizing, as I was doing. And so going for that 50 number is probably where you want to end up. And you're going to see incredible results if your grades, test scores, and extracurriculars are up there.
Okay, so when you say you want to maximize, if you get great grade scholarships, extracurricular, so you're giving back to the community and stuff like that. When people look at that, how should they be looking at that or presenting that when they're doing a scholarship application? Because that makes a big difference. Because you know what, when my daughter applied, she had almost 3,000 hours for the National Charity League, and that, I mean, she put out a few applications and she got a lot of acceptances.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. So in terms of your extracurricular activities, I always recommend at least two that are going to be crucial. One is related to community service. So as you mentioned, volunteer hours, helping nonprofits, soup kitchens, that kind of thing. And two is leadership. So being, you know, vice president, president of a club or organization, having started a club or nonprofit, being a founder of something like that. The reason for that is when you think about how scholarship committees think, they want to invest in the future of tomorrow, the future leaders of tomorrow. They want to give money to those that are going to be leading the community, giving back to the community, being leaders in the community, et cetera, and on their college campuses and, you know, throughout the rest of their careers, hopefully. So if you demonstrated that in high school through community service, through leadership activities, you are going to have a leg up on competition in terms of applying for scholarships and financial aid. And that goes for college, of course, too.
So basically what you're saying is they're looking for a wonderful ambassador for their organization to say, we gave this person a scholarship and see what they've done.
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, that's why this conversation is relevant, not just to parents of 12th graders who are applying for all those scholarships and financially, but parents of 8th graders, 9th graders, 10th graders to start thinking about how to shape their extracurricular activities to make sure that, one, that they're competitive for college and scholarship applications, but two, so that your student really does become a leader in the community and does give back to the community and is a future leader of tomorrow, because that's really, really important to your experience in your early years of high school.
I also think it's one of those things where they also want to look at a well-rounded person, not somebody that just stays in the room and studies.
Yeah, 100%. That's a big part of it too. So, you know, having high grades and test scores, really important, but that's just part one. Part two is making sure that you're well-rounded across the board.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so getting back to it, we've got Dr. Sean Patel. He's the CEO of Prep Experts. We've been talking about the FAFSA, the scams to avoid, how to get those scholarships. One of the things that I would just, you know, we started talking a little bit in the last segment is, you know what, how should you be presenting yourself? If you're in eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade, what should you be looking at if you're looking to go to university or college, and how should you be looking to present yourself? And we talked a little bit about being how could you develop into a good ambassador for that university. Does that say it right?
100%. Yeah. So, you know, that's what I think is a really key skill in life, is putting yourself in other people's shoes. So if I put myself in the shoe of a college admissions officer or a scholarship officer, application committee member, I am really going to be looking for future ambassadors in the community. So who does that look like, in my opinion? Well, it's going to be someone who's smart. So you're going to have high grades and high test scores. It's going to be someone who is not just smart, though, but also is contributing to their community and giving back to the community. So oftentimes they're going to be volunteering. They're going to be involved potentially in some nonprofits. And then they're going to be leading the community. So, you know, if they're leading a school organization or club, or they're captain of a sports team, that shows leadership. So they're going to look for all of those qualities in terms of, I want this person to represent our university, our scholarship. And, you know, can I attest that from their prior experience that they actually can do it? Because everyone can write on their application, they will do it. But who actually has done it from their experience in high school? That's the key. There's been a lot of studies now that at test optional universities, students who submit their test scores are getting accepted at 2 to 3 times higher rates than students who do not have a test score. So if you want to double or triple your chance of getting into a college that's test optional, submit your SAT or ACT score, right? So it's going to be a big difference maker for you in college admissions. But even more than that, there's been dozens of universities reinstating the SAT and the ACT. So just this month, Princeton University reinstated it, but we've got Harvard, MIT, Yale, every Ivy League besides, I think, Columbia now, Stanford, Johns Hopkins, University of Texas, all Georgia public universities, all Florida universities. So, I mean, it's just coming back in a big, big way. But even more than that, there's one important reason that you got to take the SAT and ACT that a lot of people don't realize, and it relates to today's conversation. So many financial aid scholarships will consider your SAT or ACT score in order to give you that scholarship. So what's very interesting at many colleges and universities that are test option or test blind is you'll get in, but to get their presidential scholarship, to get their full tuition scholarship, to get their trustee scholarship, you need a test score. And a lot of people overlook that, right? And so there's literally billions of dollars in scholarships that you become ineligible for if you don't take the SAT or the ACT. So I'd say first thing we got to clarify is parent students, it's really, really important to take these exams. Don't let, you know, past media test optional fool you. It's important for scholarships. It's important for admission everywhere, whether you're test optional or test required.
So basically what you're saying is if every parent out there, if you want to pay less for your college, your son or daughter's college education, make sure they take the SAT or ACT.
Yeah, that's a really simple hack, right? Like, because there's a lot of students not taking it and they're just ineligible for all those scholarships. So there's already fewer applications. So if you're one of the few and you do well on it, I mean, you're going to score. You're going to have a much higher chance of getting scholarships, financial aid, et cetera.
Yeah. In fact, one of the scholarships my daughter got was because of that. So I totally agree with that.
Perfect example.
Yeah, there is this, I think.
Yeah.
And that scholarship actually went for, that money went for each year for the 4 years. So that was really, really very nice. And I'm grateful for it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have to pay.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, I got a perfect SAT score myself. That's not the only reason that I got scholarships, but it unlocked a lot of my scholarships, 100%.
Yeah. No, I was never the perfect one. So, let's talk about the test prep for taking SAT and ACTs and stuff like that. That is a big thing because, you know what, I'll tell you what, I actually went in the first time and didn't study at all. And I didn't get a very good score. And the second time I took one of the classes and all that, and my score increased dramatically. And the third time I took it, it increased, you know, even more. And thank God I was an athlete, so it was helpful with that too to get to university. So, you know what? A lot of kids aren't used to that standardized testing. So, in fact, I'd say about 50 people emailed about this. Hey, my son or daughter isn't that standardized testing. They don't really all do that well, but hey, they're getting great grades in school. And they have really, really hard at it. So, you know, what are the things that people can do to get prepared for this? And so that would be one of the big questions.
Yeah. So actually, you and I have a pretty similar story then, because I, on my first SAT, only scored about average. And then I spent hundreds of hours in the library studying for the SAT. And by the third attempt, I raised it to a perfect score. So it really increased after lots of studying. And so what exactly was Matt studying? Well, there's really two keys. So one, you got to use really good test questions. So where do you get those? For the SAT, it's going to be the company that creates the SAT. So it's a company called the College Board. So your practice is only going to be as good as the questions you use. So you want to use College Board official SAT questions. They're available for free through the College Board's website, as well as what's called the Blue Book application. That's their official testing application to get practice SAT question. Now, if you're taking the ACT, that's a different company that makes the ACT. So you want to go to what's called ACT Inc. Or ACT.org in order to get their practice questions. They have a big red book. But it's not enough to just use great practice questions. You also have to apply really good test-taking strategies. So, you know, there's a certain way that you want to read passages. You read the question first. You read the passage first. You read the whole thing. You skim it. There is a certain way that you want to approach algebra questions. Do you just plug in the numbers from the multiple choice? Do you do traditional algebra? On the writing section, there are certain words and phrases to avoid. This is all stuff you don't learn in your high school classes. And that's why your readers are saying, my student does really well in high school, but they're not doing well on standardized tests. It's because they haven't prepped with the strategies that they need in order to gain these exams and get higher scores. So that's what companies like myself, at Prep Expert, we do with our online courses, tutoring, books, is to help students learn these strategies to apply to these great practice questions. And like you and myself, your score will skyrocket from there.
That's perfect. Hey, folks, we got to take a break. Stick with us. We're going to be right back with Dr. Sean Patel.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We're getting right back to it about college test taking or getting prepared for the ACT, the SAT, and so on with Dr. Sean Patel. He's the CEO of Prep Expert. And you know what? Here we go. Let's talk. Dr. Patel, I'd love it. You talked in the last segment about the written, the math, the English, the comprehensive, all that kind of stuff. What are little things that people can do to start preparing? I mean, you talked about the ACT book, that big red book. We talked about the College Board's book, that they can actually go get it online for free, which is awesome. But What are the little hacks that can make a difference and increase their score? Because, you know, quite frankly, I didn't get a perfect score. In fact, I back then, I think the 1600 was the highest. I got like a 1200. It was just one of those things where I was just sheer grit of going through these things. And by the time I actually finished the whole test, I was wiped. And that was a long time ago. It was just like, I was like, oh, screw it, click. So what are those things that people can start thinking about logically and going, you know, and selecting the right answer, so to speak, or going through that process?
Yeah, 100%. So there's different test strategies for every single section of the exam. So I'll give a couple examples here. You know, for example, on the writing or the grammar section of the SAT or the ACT, there's a really simple rule to remember. And that is that the word being, so B-E-I-N-G, is always going to be incorrect. So you never want to choose an answer choice that happens to have that word in it. That's not going to be the right answer. Why is that? Well, that's because being often creates passive voice constructions rather than active voice constructions. I'm not going to get into passive voice versus active voice right now. I'll probably put the whole audience to sleep. But you know, if you remember that simple rule, the word being is always wrong, you now have an edge over someone who did not prep for the SAT or the ACT and doesn't know that rule. You can eliminate a lot of incorrect answer choices that way. For the math section, a really simple strategy is to test the answer choices rather than doing the traditional algebra you're given. So, you know, in algebra class, you know, why does an algebra teacher never give you a multiple choice test? Well, because you could skip doing all the algebra and just plug in, hey, answer choice A, does 2 work for X? Does 3 work for X? Does 4 work for X? And you can just see which one works. Well, guess what? The SAT and the ACT are multiple choice exams. So you don't have to show your work. You can just skip, do, and get right to the good part, which is which one of these answers works in the original algebra question. So that's a really simple strategy for the math section too.
That's so simple. It's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are the kinds of hacks that, you know, it's so intuitive once you learn it, but until you've been taught to do the test that way, you would never think of it. Because when you go into that, when your child goes into SAT or the ACT, they're just going to approach it like they do their math class. But that's actually not the most efficient method, right? Like I just told you.
Well, that's what I was just saying. I was just going, well, what I did is I did the whole damn math out and I'm like, right.
Yeah. And you just spent all these minutes doing all the algebra, and another student who probably knows this strategy just, you know, solved it in 20 seconds and they can move on. They saved time. They lowered their test anxiety. And, you know, they've seen the question a million times because they went through the College Board's Blue Book app and, you know, it's a breeze for them. So that's why the test prep really does raise scores between the strategies and the questions.
That's so interesting because I, you know what, being a person who never didn't really, well, I did take a class, but they didn't give me that hack. but I was just doing question after question. And quite frankly, I was great at math and still great at it. And the funny thing about it is I could do formulas in my head, but I didn't do it then.
Yeah, it's funny. I bet you would have been better at math if the questions were related to finance.
And actually, if it was a good formula, I was good. It's just that I always, you know what, I grew up in the world where you show your work with math. And so if you're doing this 40-foot algebra question, you show the whole work and they'd mark you off if there was a point off or whatever. And I had to show my work. And that's probably where I got exhausted with it.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of students go wrong in the math section of these standardized tests. You do it the way in high school, and that's not often the best way for the tests.
Yeah. Okay, so that's good to know about the math side in English. So what about, there's an essay. So what's the big hack about, you know, writing?
Yeah. Well, the big hack about writing an essay is there's good news. There's no more writing in our essay. So they got rid of it. Yeah. So they got rid of it just a couple of years ago. No. So it's great news. So it brings me into a great segue about, you know, the new digital SAT that came out just a couple of years ago. There's no essay anymore. The exam's a lot shorter. It used to be like 150. The one that you and I took probably had like 200 questions. Now it's just 98 questions. The one that you and I took was like 3-4 hour paper-based exam. Now it's a 2-hour, 14-minute exam. So it's shorter than ever. You have more time for question. There's no essay. There's no analogies. There's no obscure vocabulary. So it's the most student-friendly version of the SAT that's ever been created. Now, the ACT is updating itself to pretty similar to make it a little bit more student-friendly. But I will say they are not easier exams. The reason for that is they're adaptive. So they adapt to your student's skill level based on how they did on the previous section. If you did really well, you're going to get harder questions to try to get higher scores. If you did poorly, you're going to get easier questions where you can't get a higher score. And so because of the adaptive nature, it does make the exam still quite difficult. And so you still got to do the test prep, take it seriously.
So here's the next thing. My son, his master's in electrical engineering. He graduated top 1/6 of all the master's students and the whole university from a grade point average and all that stuff. But he did a lot better on the ACT than the SAT.
Mm-hmm.
Different, you know, do you take them both or how do you figure out which one's the right one for you?
Yeah. So that used to be the case that many students would perform better on one exam over the other. Now that the exams have been updated to be more similar than ever, especially with the new ACT update that just happened a few months ago, we're not seeing that huge difference in, you know, a student getting much higher score without prepping on one exam. With that being said, I still recommend doing both exams, doing a diagnostic test and seeing which one you like, seeing which one you get a better feel for, et cetera. And there's nothing wrong with taking both exams and then just submitting your higher score to colleges and scholarships. They only want one score. Doesn't matter which one. So you can find out, okay, there's concordance table, 32 is equal to, on the ACT is equal to 1400 on the SAT. You know, this is a higher score, so I'm just going to submit this one everywhere. So that's a really good strategy too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was significantly different back then when he took it. And that was only, what, 5, 6 years ago. I just thought it was really interesting that he did better on that one. And I always thought it was the harder one.
And, you know, the ACT did have a science section, and they just got rid of that too. So there's so many test changes. You got to stay up to date with the stuff. Otherwise, it's overwhelming for parents and students.
Okay, so we got about a couple minutes left. You have the MCAT. Okay, do you help out with students looking to get into master's programs? Is there still an essay on the master's program for when?
Yeah, so for the most part, they've gotten rid of essays on most master's exams as well. But we do help with MCAT, GRE, GMAT, because once you learn how to prep for one test, you'll realize that there's a lot of similarities across, like, how to read passages, how to do the math, how to, like, to your point, if it has an essay, how to write the essays. But I will say standardized testing in general is going away from essays. And the reason for that is the essays were really gameable, very easily to game. It was like, if you just wrote a long essay, you would automatically get a high score. There was like a bunch of MIT studies about it. It didn't matter what you said in the essay. It was just the length of the essay. Yeah.
3 pages are in.
Yeah, exactly. 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 It's really funny, actually.
That's interesting. So Sean, let's talk about what you do for college or high school students. When should somebody start getting connected with somebody like yourself? Is it a junior year, a sophomore year in high school? When should they start getting connected?
Yeah. So, you know, for parents and students who are interested, what we do at my company, Prep Expert, is we offer online SAT, ACT courses and tutoring. So generally, the way that works is we have a flagship course that's 6 weeks long. Your student attends classes twice a week with an instructor and takes a practice exam on the weekend over 6 weeks. And we guarantee a 200-point improvement on their SAT score or a 4-point improvement on their ACT score after those 6 weeks. I like for parents and students to get started with us earlier. So, you know, 10th, 11th grade. There's nothing wrong with getting started in 12th grade, but then we're really up against a wall in terms of being able to retake the exam, making sure that our college scholarship applications are all in on time, everything we talked about today. So if your parent, if your student is younger, you know, you have more attempts to take the SAT to keep getting, or ACT to keep getting a higher score, you have more time to work with us, et cetera. And so for the parents and students who are interested, you can find all of our course schedules, all of our tutors who've all scored in the top 1% and 99th percentile at prepexpert.com. That's PrepExpert.com. And when you go to prepexpert.com, you'll also see a bunch of free resources, free ebooks, free guides, as well as a free live webinar that I do with parents to actually talk even more in depth about college admissions, scholarships, test prep. And I'll give a lot of free content away in that webinar in terms of, like, actually demonstrating some of the strategies we teach so that students really know what to expect and parents know what they're signing their student up for. So you can find that all at prepexpert.com.
So folks, you definitely want to go to prepexpert.com. You want to get involved with that webinar, listen to the parents, watch Sean go through it. You know what? Just remember back when you were trying to get into college. If your kids can get a leg up, that would make a big difference. Sean, I really appreciate you being here today. Just pearls of wisdom, the ahas or something else, especially from my standpoint from a long time ago. It's so ingrained in me. I mean, it's like a trigger.
Yeah. No, thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. I hope, you know, parents and students learned a lot from today's conversation, and, I wish everyone the best with your college scholarship and financial goals.
Hey, I appreciate it. Hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving and Christmas. With that, I want to thank you all for joining us today. Dr. Sean Patel, Prep Experts, was outstanding. I recommend you go to that prepexperts.com website. Again, listen to how to prevent you from getting taken by scams when it comes to college scholarships, college applications, the whole shop. So thanks again for joining us right here on Saving with Steve, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio. To To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.